Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Senator Rand Paul joining us on the Disruption Zone. How are you this morning, sir? It's good to talk to you.
Very good, Leland. Thanks for having me.
Do you have your toilet paper supply for the next month and a half or so? Were you able to get to the store before everybody bought it all up?
We have been trying to avoid any altercations in the Walmart or Target looking for toilet paper. Now, it is kind of unfortunate that the media has so stoked this that we have people acting in an irrational manner. And, I think people ought to pay attention to the news and watch what's going on. But right now, a lot more people are dying in America from the flu than from this. And it's not to downplay this and say we should ignore it, but we really ought to act in a rational way. And, right now what's happening is actually people's savings are being destroyed as the stock market suffers from sort of this hysteria.
Do you think the media has a part to play in this for an agenda-driven purpose? I mean, it seems as though the freakout is, and again, I don't want to diminish that certainly people have died from this, but so are people dying from the flu. And we don't have a stock market crash every year when tens of thousands of Americans die from the flu. So do you think that there is a deliberate agenda behind this, the way the media is stoking it?
I think there are certain members of the media who are taking glee at the fact that the market's gone down because they see it as a way to beat President Trump in the election. And, do all of them? I don't want to, paint them with a wide brush. I would say that really some are, and some are also just selling fear because people believe and have believed for a long time that controversy, fear, it sells better than complacency. And, I think there is a component of that, but it's not good for the country. And I think we should treat this in a rational way. And, if you are sick or you are older, you should take precautions, And
right.
Right now, while there's community spread, there's not widespread community spread in the sense that we don't have cities with thousands of people,
right,
that are ill with this. We have 700 people in a city in a country of 300 million. So it's a very, very small percentage at this point. And I think if we do aggressive quarantining, we may be able to limit the numbers. So maybe we don't get, millions of people. Like, you can get millions of people actually get the flu each year sometimes when you have a really bad epidemic.
Right.
So I'm hoping that this doesn't reach that stage.
Well, I think what scares people too sometimes is when you see the reactions of other countries, like in Italy now, with a complete lockdown, and people are like, wait a minute, if this is just like the flu, why do we never do that with the flu? Is that also what some countries are doing, an overreaction? Or do you worry about that happening here? I mean, what's the balance?
I don't know because, we haven't seen the end result yet. We're seeing just the beginning of this. I think the good news is in China, it ramped way up to 80,000, but now China's only adding a few cases every day. Mm-hmm. So it's really slowed down in China. I'm hoping that that's sort of the story in the other countries, but with much lower numbers, and that sequestering people and quarantining may be slowing some of it down. We don't typically do that for the flu, but the flu spreads in a massive way each year.
Right.
That maybe if we were to, have some more common sense things of having people to try to stay home in flu season when they're sick, that would actually improve or lessen our death rate from the flu as well.
Yeah.
But we can't live in our houses. We can't just give up and become cave dwellers again. So I think there is somewhere an in-between and some logic. And the other thing is that if you're, 80 years old and have had some illnesses, you might want to take more precautions than if you're 30 years old.
Yeah.
But I think a healthy 30-year-old who's not sick should still be going to work and try to live their life and not quit, going to restaurants or movies, because I think in the end, this whole bunker mentality is, really hurting all of us as far as the economy goes. And eventually there'll be people who won't have jobs and won't be working because of this. We need to not go too far,
right,
but at the same time, we need to be aware that we're still in the learning stage as to how bad this will be.
Talking with Senator Rand Paul, do you think that the American people it seems to me there's, because the left wants to blame Trump's reaction on this, or Trump on this, and it seems to me that the American people are probably smarter than that. The president immediately slowed, not complete ban, but slowed travel from and to those countries that where this emanated from, which probably bought some time for the United States in all of this. I mean, do you feel like he's reacted to this well?
I think if you're going to blame a politician for a virus or for an infectious disease, that you really disqualify yourself. I mean, you're a moron if you think that a politician caused a disease. We can argue whose fault it is, whether there's disease in the world, whether there's evil in the world, and why people get sick. But if you blame a politician, you're just not a thinking person.
Right.
And or you're a malevolent person. And I think there are some people out there who are licking their chops on this. And I wouldn't say everyone, but I think there are some people who actually see this and secretly sort of smile that this will be the, devastating politically to Trump. But I think in the end, most people are smarter than that. And really, I think they're trying to do their best to take care of people and to prevent the spread of the disease. And I've actually been remarkably pleased at how well they were able to get tests together, even though they're not perfect and there's not enough of them yet.
Yeah.
My goodness, to do all this in about a month's period of time is pretty good. Usually it takes, a year or so to develop some kind of test and get it out the door, and they've done it in about a month. And worldwide, the response to this virus has been really phenomenal.
Is there any word on a potential vaccine for this, like the flu vaccine? I mean, is there... How long do you
think? Yeah, I think that, they've tried before on vaccines, and vaccines are not as easily made as you would hope, and they often will take a year to come up with a vaccine. There's also antiviral drugs. There's one called remdesivir, and this viral drug they developed for Ebola. It wasn't as good for Ebola, but it turns out it reacts against the coronavirus, the MERS, and the SARS virus. And these are related to the current one, and this antiviral works in animals. They're doing a trial in Nebraska right now, and they're also doing several trials in China with it. I think they've also got some of it in Korea. We're going to learn something, and this is the good news, and people should perk up on this. We're going to find out something about this particular antiviral really in the next few weeks.
Wow.
I mean, they're probably already, and I haven't seen any of the word get out, but there's probably already people that are either responding or not responding to this.
That's good to know. Talking to Senator Rand Paul, the FISA reform is another thing I wanted to talk to you about this morning. It's apparently not even in Jerry Nadler's House committee. Is this going to happen? I mean, let's back up a little bit now that we know that the FISA court gave the go-ahead based on really fake evidence from the FBI, or at least distorted evidence from the FBI, to spy on the presidential campaign. This is an unprecedented abuse of the FISA court system, which you've been warning about. Where do we get this reform? When do we get this reform? Will it come?
You know, the Foreign Intelligence Court is different than regular courts. You don't get your own lawyer. The proceedings are not public. In fact, sometimes you're being prosecuted or spied upon, and you never are actually told that this ever even occurred. So I'm against the FISA court spying on Americans. I'm against what they did to President Trump. I have a reform amendment that I'll insist on a vote on, and that may happen as early as the next couple of days. My amendment would say that you can't use the FISA court on Americans. Basically, if you want to spy on an American, you have to go to a regular court, to a regular judge, and ultimately that can be done under seal, but ultimately the person who's been spied on is notified and they get a chance to contest whether or not the spying was consistent with the Fourth Amendment. That's our real system. That's the constitutional system. And what happened to President Trump should never happen again. I also fear that it could happen to a Democrat presidential candidate, but I also fear that this kind of power could be targeted against political activists, people who are, donors or door knockers for different political candidates. So we've got to do something about this, and this is the time to do it. I was at the White House a couple times in the last week or two talking with the president, and the president agrees with me it'd be a huge mistake just to reauthorize this Patriot Act and not add reforms to it.
Is there momentum behind this, though? I mean, obviously the Democrats have a vested interest in protecting the fact that they abused this system to spy on a presidential campaign. They should worry for the exact reason that you pointed out, because it could be turned back on them. But
Well, the interesting thing is there are some Democrats who are good on this issue. There are some progressive Democrats, Pat Leahy, Ron Wyden, who have worked with more libertarian-leaning Republicans on this kind of issue for years. And so we have been allied with Democrats in a bipartisan way. But the thing is that we now have to get it done. And the powers that be, the people who are the defenders of the deep state, they don't want to get it done. And so what they will do is they will try to offer window dressing. They'll try to do fake reform. And it'll look like reform, but in reality, what they do, it will be gutted before it gets started. They'll put stuff up that sounds like it might do something, but in the end will provide no protection. I think the ultimate protection is what I'm offering. Americans should not be spied on by a secret court. Yeah. Americans should not have FISA warrants issued against them. If you want to spy on an American, you go to a regular court. I think this is the ultimate fix. Whether or not I can get enough momentum for it, the powers that be are trying to get no reform. That's what they were for, was a clean reauthorization with no reform. Now they're losing that battle because the president's got involved, but they will try to pull the wool over all of our eyes by putting forward something that is essentially fake reform. And that's kind of where we are right now. So those of us who want real reform are pushing back and trying to get more significant reform.
And I mean, you mentioned a little bit about like door knockers and people who work on campaigns, but why should the average American be concerned about FISA reform? How would it affect them, or how could it affect them?
Well, you can be targeted for multiple different reasons. You know, in the 50s and 60s, people were targeted because of the color of their skin. They were targeted because of their opposition to the war. There have been people targeted for their religious beliefs over time. Just think of what minority group you might belong to. You could be a homeschooler and you could be targeted by the big government, by the deep state. You could be a pro-lifer. You could be a pro-choicer. You could be all kinds of different issues, Republican, Democrat. So most of these involve speech and thought, and those are the kind of people I'm thinking of. Could be ordinary citizens, but usually there's a reason why you end up being a targeted group.
Well, look at what Obama did to the Tea Party. I mean, destroyed their funding mechanism by weaponizing the IRS against them.
Exactly. And I tell people this is why we should believe in civil liberties, because you can be a minority because of the color of your skin or the shade of your ideology.
Yeah.
And so you can be targeted. And, you know, the day they come for, you know, African Americans or Mexican Americans, they might also come for homeschoolers or Baptists or Catholics.
Yeah.
And so it's happened in the past. And that's why we have the civil liberties protection, is because we know that there are people among us who are biased and bigoted. And what we try to do is make sure that the law restrains the police power, restrains government, and keeps government from invading our lives. And I think this reform is really important. And for the Democrats, they just have to look beyond sort of their hatred of Trump and say, what if the shoe were on the other foot? What if this were something being used against us? How would we feel? And like I say, there are some good Democrats who will vote for reform. And there are some, unfortunately, some Republicans who could care less what happened to Trump, and they will vote for the deep state because they are more concerned about the deep state than anything else.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, real quickly, talking with Senator Rand Paul, the deal with the Taliban, some attacks have been happening since then. President Trump has drawn sort of a line and said, hey, you know, you guys have to take care of yourselves now. Deal's a deal. Is that a good deal, pulling our troops out? Are we doing this the right way?
I think we've been at war too long in too many places. Afghanistan, nearly 19 years. There are people now fighting who weren't even born when 9/11 happened. The original purpose of the war and what Congress voted on was to go after the people who attacked us. We've long since defeated those people. We have killed or captured really every one of the people involved. And so we have no purpose in that war over there, and we should come home, regardless of whether the Taliban keeps fighting or not, or whether the Taliban signs a deal. I think it's really immaterial. What's important is that we do not have a mission there, and it's time to come home. We're spending $50 billion a year building their roads and bridges and building gas stations for them. It's really time that we come home, that we not risk the lives of our young men and women over there, and that we not squander our treasure over there. So I think it's misguided to think, oh, we leave and there'll be peace. Most people have been killing each other for 1,000 years. They killed each other before we came, and they'll kill each other after we leave. So I don't think the marker or the benchmark should be whether or not they quit killing each other. It should be, is there a reason for us to be there for our national security? I think we still have to observe the situation. Even if we leave the country, we have to watch to make sure they aren't training international terrorists. But our military people are now saying we can do that without troops on the ground.
Well, you and your wife have a great new book out, The Case Against Socialism, and you are going to be here in Houston Thursday, March 19th for a book signing and a speaking event with WAC, the World Affairs Council of Houston. Tell me how people can get out and see you and check out your book.
Well, people are interested in it. It's on Eventbrite, and they can sign up and come and hear us. We're excited about the book. The book basically reviews the reasons why socialism would be a disastrous choice for us, not only the contemporary examples of Venezuela, but some of the historical examples as well, and also debunks this idea that Scandinavia is something that we should aspire to, that Sweden is some great socialism that we should aspire to. In fact, when you look closely at it, it turns out that Sweden's been running away from socialism for a couple of decades. They've gotten rid of their wealth transfer taxes. They no longer have really high corporate taxes. In fact, they had lower corporate taxes than we have had until we recently lowered ours. So there's a lot of reasons why we should be wary. But ultimately, people should be wary because when socialism has been tried, time and time again, it devolves into authoritarianism, famine, starvation, you name it, and it's not a pleasant system. And for Bernie and others to say, oh, this time will be different, they need to explain why every other time it hasn't been. They also need to explain why, you know, they had such great sympathy for the Soviet Union and also for Castro, and yet both of those turned out to be disasters, authoritarianism. And I think it's a false allure to say, oh, we're going to have democratic socialism this time, and it's going to be without the gulag.
Yeah.
But I'd be very, very wary of that. The other argument against it is basically, look at capitalism, look at our country, and look at the amazing wealth that has been generated in our country and how we're able to take care of those who can't take care of themselves because of the great wealth of capitalism. But anyway, the book's The Case Against Capitalism will be
Case Against
there
Socialism,
March
you mean?
19th.
You said
Case Against Socialism. We'll be there March 19th. And if people want to come, it's on Eventbrite. They can sign up on Eventbrite.
Awesome. I looked it up the other day. The average Dane pays 56% taxes on every dollar that they make. That's Denmark is one of the ones they've switched to talking about. And anybody that makes over $60,000 a year there, or the equivalent thereof, pays a 60% tax rate for all the free stuff they get. I don't think Americans are ready for that.
Yeah, and that's the other big lie that comes from Bernie and these folks. They say only the rich people are going to pay for this, only the top 1%. These welfare states that you do have, they're not socialism, but they are welfare states, have very high taxes on the working class and the middle class.
Yeah.
Everybody pays a 25% sales tax on everything, and they also pay, like you say, 60% income tax starting at around $60,000.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff. Hey, Senator Paul, it's great to talk to you. Always enjoy having you on, and thank you for continuing to defend freedom and capitalism. I hope we can get this virus back in the bottle so we can get our economy back on track.
Sounds good. Thanks, right. Leland.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks to Senator Rand Paul for popping on with us. Good stuff. You can help me by sharing this podcast. Get it out to your friends and ask them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, wherever podcasts are found. That is where you will find us. So get her out there. We are on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption. And also on Instagram at Great Lelando and at The Disruption Zone. So you can follow us there and see highlights, previews, etc. More to come this week. In fact, tomorrow we're going to talk to a guy who faced down a crocodile in the Australian outback. How about that? Can't wait to talk about that and more. Much more to come later this week. Cameron Mills will be back with us. We're going to talk to him about a couple of things. What were we going to chat with him about? Oh, the coronavirus overreaction and buying toilet paper. So that's coming up this week as well, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks to our co-executive producer, Cameron Mills. Thanks to our production support from Dynamics Audio Productions, Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky. It's Neil Kesterson over there at DX Audio. If you have tapes you want to just reform so that your family can look at them, maybe they're old VHS tapes, and get them restored, or you got a Hollywood production you want to do, he is amazing, and he can get it done all the way done on all of those things. So thanks to him for all his help. That's it for me. Thanks for listening to The Disruption Zone.